My chains are gone. My chains are gone. I like it. Amazing grace. You can't beat it. You can't beat the Lord. You can't beat His grace. Thankful for mercy. Thankful I don't get justice. Glad for mercy. All right. Himself. Think, look, and compare your life. That's what the Word of God's for. It gives us direction, but it seeks us out. I'm glad I got a Bible I can go to. I'm glad I can see myself, and that's what we're going to do this morning. I come to a passage here in the Bible, and looking at myself, I don't always like what I see when I look at myself. And so, naturally, I'll just not look at myself, I'll look at you. Right? Ain't that natural? And then if I find something that ain't right with you, then I'll talk about you. Right? So, because I don't like to look at myself. But this morning, it ain't going to be like that. This morning, we get to look at ourselves. All right, we get to look at our own self in the mirror this morning, and somewhere throughout the course of the morning, you will make a decision. You will. You either get right or not. You know, that's pretty well the bottom line. We either just get right or not. You know, but can I tell you, it'll be your choice. It'll be your choice. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to preach a memorial service, a funeral for a neighbor, for friend many years. And I had a rare opportunity. I've had it at the funeral home before, but not often do you have it in a church house. I was able to preach to some Jehovah's Witnesses yesterday. And the opportunity was there, very friendly. I've known the people since they were little tiny kids. They were there. And they talked with me a little bit after church. They didn't want to talk about the sermon or nothing or the message, but friendly enough that we could talk about friends and parents and health. And I thought, God help us to be friendly. Yes. Help us to be friendly. It don't matter who they are, what they believe. Now, I am not to give any when it comes to the gospel. Paul said if there come any preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. And that's flat out. I mean, that's there's no reservation there. There's no, you can't compromise the gospel. Can't compromise the word of God. If any other preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's what Paul said. All right? And that's what the Bible says. And I believe that. But Jesus was a friend to sinners. Yes. He wasn't just a friend to the brethren. He was a friend to sinners. Now, we'll be friendly with the brethren. But we're careful about being friendly to sinners. They've got to be almost brethren. I want you to pray for those that heard the gospel yesterday and pray that God will bring a increase in the fruit there that people will trust the Lord. All right? We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2 this morning for just a little bit. So let's pray together, can we? Your heart clear? All right, let's pray together. Father, I come just now, and Lord, I stand here again very needy, knowing full well that I cannot do nothing. I ask you to cleanse my heart and my mind first, that there would be nothing that would be a hindrance in my own life, nothing that I've hid. Lord, if I've hid it, Lord, I'll try to lie about it. And Lord, I pray that you'd expose it in my own mind, my own heart. And Lord, I might confess it and be clean with you. Show me. God, I know it's not a question, have I done wrong? Lord, I'm sorry for what I have done wrong. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse me this morning. Touch me fresh, if you would. Give me power as you see fit. Holy Spirit power and direction. Lord, that you might be the one heard, not me. May the Word of God speak to us. And Lord, thank you that we do have a Bible. Thank you that we can read it, that you will direct our hearts and direct our steps. And I thought what Brother Rick said, you'll even direct our stops, where we're supposed to stop, not just where we're supposed to go, but where we're supposed to stop at. Lord, help us this morning, I pray, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. 1 John chapter 1, 1 little John chapter 1, all right? And we're going to read a little bit of scripture, and we'll see where we're going to be. Now, I want you to think about some things before we read this morning. You know, we live in a busy time. Let me ask you, have you ever been more busy than you are now? Have you ever got less done than you do now? Never been more busy, never got less done than what we seem like we do right now. Our schedule's full. Anybody here got anything on, any openings on your schedule? Got any opening? We got some things need to be done. Anybody got any openings? But we're all scheduled up. See, everybody's got everything planned almost down to the minute, what we're going to do. We've made ourselves that way. It ain't because that's the way it is. We've made it that way. We say we don't have time for this or that, but yet we have time for everything we want to have time for. We make time. But the problem is things are becoming a habit. Even our normal lives is becoming a habit, so routine that we get up. Let's say you're working. Let's see if we can maybe get some of the people that work, maybe one or two maybe. You work, you get up, and you're tired from the day before, so normally you run late. You get dressed, you run in, you don't have time for breakfast, so you grab you a little Debbie cake or a fudge round, or you rush to the car to run through a drive-thru to grab a biscuit or a croissant, cup of coffee, Coke or Dr. Pepper, Mellow Yellow or Mountain Dew or whatever you need, and you hit the road. You get to the job, you get to your place at work, and you're rushed. Did I bring everything I needed? Oh, I forgot this. And then you're just all messed up. You go to work, you're broke down. Maybe the machine broke down, or the copier don't work, or your staff didn't show up to work. Any of this sound familiar? People didn't show up. They didn't call in sick. They didn't let you know. They're late. Don't know whether they're coming or not. Then you got to rearrange. Then you rearrange, and here they show up, and you wonder why they're going to be there all day, and you're on pins and needles. You're going through. That sound like a normal day? That's the day, ain't it? I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do. And then tomorrow we do the same thing, and we pretty well prepare for it, and it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. We're scheduled to the point that there's no rest. We'll take a vacation. I can't wait. I'm going to be off the third week of April. I'm going to the beach. And you rush, and you fly there, and you've got your schedule, and you go, I'm going to eat there, I'm going to eat there, I'm going to eat there, I want to do that, and I'm going to play miniature golf, and I do this, and you get home and said, I'm so tired. Because there was no rest, because you scheduled your vacation to the point that you were stressed while you was resting. Does that sound like us? Does anybody don't do that? That's very rare, very rare. All right? I mean, that's just the way we are. And then, here comes Sunday. Oh, man. I don't feel like going to church tomorrow. Anybody ever say that? Don't raise your hand or answer. But does anybody ever say, oh, man, I don't want to go to church tomorrow. I don't feel like going. Well, if I do go, they ain't going to miss me anyway. If I miss, if it goes, it will be the same thing. Oh, I'm going to go. I'm going to see the same people. I don't want to see them. I don't want to listen to him no more. Have you ever thought, now this you can say amen if you've done this. Have you ever thought on a certain, oh, I really don't feel like going. Has anybody ever done that? I really don't feel like going. Well, can I tell you, that's not uncommon. And what it is where we're so busy through the week. Where we've scheduled everything on our schedule but the Lord through the week. That sometimes it's hard to come on Sunday. Sometimes it's just hard. I don't even feel like it. See, the problem is not time this morning. The problem is relationship. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with the clock, nothing to do with your schedule. Nothing to do with my clock or my schedule. It's all about my relationship with the Lord. When it comes to Sunday, the things of God, it's fellowship, relationship, not time. We have the same amount of time. We mentioned that last Sunday night. We have the same amount of time we've ever had. Evening and morning, the first day. Started in Genesis. A 12-hour day, a 12-hour night. It's been like that since the beginning. Got the same amount of time. Got the same amount of time. Me and a gentleman was talking yesterday. And we was talking about the lady that I buried yesterday. It'd be her uncle, I reckon. Anybody around here ever heard of Buddy Griffith, the famous fiddler, the famous musician here? Well, that was his niece that I buried yesterday. And Buddy, if there's ever anybody ever fiddled a song with Buddy Griffith, he's known all over the Grand Ole Opry and Wheeling Jamboree, and if you're getting ready to put him into the West Virginia Hall of Fame of musicians, just raised over here at Birch, over here, Braxton County, and we was talking about music, and we was talking about how we used not, everybody worked in the mines, worked out in the fields, farm, and everything, and they had time to sit around on the porch and play music. The evening on Saturdays, play music. I remember growing up doing the same thing. We loved it when somebody built a porch or a new building. If they get the floor laid, we wanted to play music on that before we ever put the walls up. I mean, I remember rushing to get plywood on the floor to go get all the instruments and everybody gather up and play on that new wood just to see what it would sound like. You know, kill yourself working just so you could rest, you know. But anyway, the time. See, there was time back then. And people done different things. See, there's time today and people just do different things. See, the same amount of time in the day. Now, I'm just wanting you to just hang with me just for a moment. Now, see, nothing's changed on time. Nothing's changed. People would be ready through the week. They did not have all the gizmos that makes our life more comfortable. They had to milk the cow of a morning, milk the cow at night. They had to churn their butter. They had to gather everything up and cook. They had warm morning stoves, the cook stoves. It was always hot in the kitchen. There were no air conditioning. Well, no refrigeration. Went out to the smokehouse, cut your meat. All good living. Some here remember that. Very few anymore. But some here still remember that. If you don't have that memory, you have been neglected and abused as a child. That's all I can say. Because there's nothing no better than what we just mentioned. But there was time to pray. Instead of a TV at night, nobody had TV. So instead of TV, they read their Bibles for a while. And then it was dark, so they went to bed. Then they'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 or so, milk cows, do it all again. But they always had time for the relationship of the Lord. Now, the time is still the same, but the relationship has changed. And it's because of the schedule that we've put ourselves in. It's nothing's been made to do that way. We have made our own schedule. And the reason I'm saying that is because we make our schedule to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and when it's important. But we have forgotten yet about the relationship. All right. So this morning, and we'll give you a little simple title, is just how are we getting along with the Lord this morning. That's your title. How are we getting along with the Lord? How are you getting along with the Lord this morning? You and him. That's how y'all getting along right now? Things okay? Is things okay with you and the Lord? Are y'all getting along? Are y'all on good speaking terms? Good fellowship? Relationship? Everything pretty good? Did you talk to him this week? I got a dear friend, Ben Friend. We went to school together and worked together, rode to work together. We talk, if not every day, we talk at least every other day. And that's me and Yogi Nutter. We've done that for years. All right. We got a pretty good relationship. Pretty good. We can laugh at one another. We've prayed together, cried together. We went through sorrows together, heartaches together, but there's always that relationship. But we spend a little time together every week, every day, every other day anyway, speaking one to another. It's called relationship. I'm wondering how you and the Lord getting along? How you and the Lord really getting along? Y'all getting along all right? Everything okay? Y'all been talking much? Y'all been fellowshipping much? Have you been interested in what he's desiring for your life? He's interested in you. I'm just wondering how we really get along with the Lord. So let's look and see. 1 John chapter 1, let's start at verse 5. We're going to read down through chapter 2, verse 6. And then we'll come back and look at a couple of verses here. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declaring to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now that's a lot of writing there, a lot of reading. And what it's talking about is fellowship. What it's talking about is fellowship, relationship, fellowship. And I want to ask you something this morning. You know, verse 5, we go back just real quick, and we're not going to tarry long this morning. I promise you we won't tarry as long as we've been. And I want you to look at their scripture. It says, this is a message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. You know, pure light exposes everything. Light shows everything. Shows every flaw. Light does. I've tried to hang sheetrock or finish sheetrock, and I'm not very good at it because I don't see real well. But I was told by a very smart man, he said, if you want to finish it right, he said, you get you a bright light. He said, and you hold it about waist high, And he said, and you let that light shine upward on that wall. And he said, it'll show every place that you miss sanding. It'll show every hump, every nail print. It'll show everything. He said, if you don't have a bright light, he said, you're just wasting your time. You'll not have a good finish on the drywall. And it wasn't that my sanding was the problem. It was the problem that I was sanding in the dark. But the light exposed where I needed to sand at. Can I tell you this morning that the light of God shows us by His Word, by His Holy Spirit, by whatever He deems to show us, He shows us where we're wrong. He's light. He shows us. Think about that. He shows us. But the problem is we don't always like what we see. A lot of times we're like, what's good enough? Have you ever done anything, fellas? And so it's good enough for who it's for. Anybody ever say that? Hey, you can't see it from my house. Huh? You ever work on somebody else's stuff? Can't see it from my house. Looks good from over here. And you ain't even looking at it, you know. That's how we live our Christian life. They can't see me from their house. Good enough for who it's for. Well, wait a minute, it ain't for me. It's for Him. Can I say it ain't nothing good enough for Him? Because He deserves perfection, does He not? But His light will show us. See, the reason I know there's an issue sometimes with us, verse 6 will tell it. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Let me ask you this morning, how you getting along? You walk in the dark, any? Or are you walking into life where everything's exposed and everything is in your face? Or are you walking in the dark? See, if we it's hard to sleep. Now, for me, this is the way I look at it. Me and Miss Cheryl go to bed, and every now and then the shade won't be just right. And Frankie's got a light over at his garage and it'll shine. And she said that light, but I said, close your eyes, you can't see it. You can't see the light if your eyes are shut. And she said, but it bothers me. Well, it ain't bothering me because my eyes are shut. See, a lot of times nothing bothers us because our eyes are shut. The light don't affect us at all. But there's some that know the light shining. So they're careful. Are you following me? See, a lot of time when we understand the light shining in our life, we get real careful. Because it's showing up all the mistakes and all the problems, all the flaws. But sometimes we'll just shut our eyes. Well, I can't see it. I can't see it. See, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, verse 6 is telling me that I believe my own lie. And things ain't really that good with me and the Lord. See, what I'm asking this morning is, how are things really with you and the Lord? How's that relationship? How's that fellowship? How are you and the Lord getting along this morning? How y'all getting along today? See, here's what we do. See, we say we have fellowship with Him. We say we do, but do we? Do we? See, we come to church. Does that guarantee we got fellowship?
No.
We teach your class. Does that guarantee we have fellowship?
No.
We preach your sermon.
No.
Does that guarantee that I got fellowship?
No.
Nah. Nah. We sing ever so softly in the congregation. Is my fellowship okay? I sung the songs. Huh? I sung a special. How about young people? The ones up here, I sang in the youth choir. Huh? Does that guarantee my fellowship is all right?
No.
We shake hands. Huh? We say, well, I fellowshipped. I shook hands. That's not what we're talking about. Huh? We don't always shake hands. Sometimes we fist bump because everybody got to cry. Huh? Does that mean we don't have fellowship? What I'm asking you this morning, we say that we have fellowship, but we don't walk in the light. Can I tell you this morning that if you're not walking in the light, then things ain't right with you and the Lord. We're supposed to walk in the light. Now, we're not going to give you a big list on how we know we're walking in the light. I'm just asking you how things are with you and the Lord. That's the whole message, is how you and the Lord getting along. That's the entire message. It ain't going to be deep. It's about as shallow as I ever preached. It's how you and the Lord getting along this morning. You know how you've got along in the past.
Yeah.
How y'all getting along this morning?
Yeah.
Things okay? Things okay? See, sometimes we do wrong and the Lord will show us, but you know we hate to be corrected. Especially nowadays, we hate to be corrected. We hate to be told we're wrong or this is what you're supposed to do. We hate it. Huh? And so we resent it. But what about when the Lord tells us? What about when the Lord tells us? You know what one of the things that keeps us from having fellowship is we don't allow the Lord to correct us. And that keeps our fellowship. Are we okay? I had been reading this scripture over and over and over, and I don't like what I'm looking at in the mirror. Huh? See, I can tell you this morning my fellowship is just right. I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor. I'm leading you folks, and my fellowship's right. Can I tell you, if I walk in darkness, I have no fellowship. And I deceive myself. Does everybody understand that? I don't deceive nobody else. Nowhere in the scripture there will you find that anybody else is deceived. Only yourself. See, there's something about relationship. I watch some of these couples before they get married. They court a little bit and I watch them. I watch them closely. I won't name no names today or anything, but I've watched them down through the years. And I've watched them before they ever court and they get Google-eyed. And then you'll see them standing next to somebody. You'll see them talking. You'll see them standing over. You ever notice that with young people? Then you'll see them talk a little bit. And then if they talk and you catch them talking, they'll turn their head. You've seen that, ain't you? Then next thing you know, they're sparking. You know, they're courting one another, and then next thing you know, they're done married and got 10 kids, and then that's the way life is. But what it is you watch that relationship grow, and you watch them change. I watch some of these old tough boys. You know, these old tough boys. There ain't no girl ever gonna tell me what to do. All hunting, all fishing, all do this, and all go. And now they go, care if I go fishing? Right? Is that not right? Huh? You care if you don't care to listen, men the guys gonna go turkey anymore. You care? Huh? You know why? Has nothing to do with their love for turkey hunting didn't change, your love for fishing didn't change. It was that their relationship was starting to mean more than the things they wanted to do. Are you hearing me this morning? See, what it is sometimes we're like that with the Lord. And we get all fired up and our relationship gets good. And we start, Lord, you care if I do this or do that? And then we'll let him discipline us. We'll let him guide our steps. We'll let him guide our life. And we'll go as we need to go. Because the relationship is what means something. But then you get old. I'm going hunting tomorrow. Can you stay a week? Yeah. I'm going fishing. Well, just don't drown. I don't know where you're going. Anybody got any answers like that in the past? Huh? See, that relationship ain't the same. Does the spouse still love you? Oh, yeah, I love you. Yeah, go on. Yeah, you can find your relationship there at home. Get up at 4 in the morning to go hunting and say, would you help me pack my line? That's when they say you're going to stay a week. I'm telling you, our actions. I'm trying to get us to see something this morning that our actions show. And we deceive ourselves when things are really not where they ought to be with us and the Lord. Because it's relationship. The fellowship with the Lord. It ain't coming to church and singing a song and shaking the hand and singing a special, singing in the youth choir. It ain't teaching a class or preaching a sermon. It's my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ every day that I'm supposed to be walking in the light as He is in the light. And then I have fellowship one with another. But I'm supposed to walk in the light. But see, there's that verse 6 flies up in our face. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So let's look at three things maybe three things. Verse 7 says if we walk in the light, all right, if we walk in the light. Now that's where the Lord wants. Can you agree to that? As He is in the light. All right, you walk in the light because He's allowed us to be in the light, and He's exposing our sin, and we're not trying to hide our sin. We're walking in the light. He's exposing our wrongs, and guess what happens when He exposes our wrongs and we're walking in the light? Where it says, "For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin, and He convicts me. He shows me that I'm wrong, and then I have cleansing from the blood of Christ." Can you agree to that? That's what the Scripture's saying there, is it not? Now, let's think about this. But we don't want to be told we're wrong. We don't want our sin exposed. See, it's not a question today if we sin. That's not the question. We all sin. And we all sin every day. And the older we get, we ought to be sinning less. And the Lord don't want us to sin, period. And if we do, He's the propitiation for our sins. And He has forgiveness, plenty of forgiveness and cleansing. That's all wonderful. Right? But we don't like it exposed. And when we don't have it exposed, then we're not in fellowship. What you got laying on you this morning that you ain't got right with the Lord? Who you flew off at and ain't fixed it? Huh? Have you fixed that big line of vulgar slang that come out? Have you fixed that lie you told? Have you fixed that look where you had no business looking? Have you fixed that? Well, there's nothing wrong with my fellowship. I'm fine. I'll take care of that. No, it don't work that way. For you only have fellowship if you walk in the light. The conditions for fellowship is you must walk in the light. That's the condition for fellowship. It's across the board for every man, woman, boy, and girl. There's no fellowship with the Lord unless you walk in the light. That's what the Scripture said. Huh? Now we can say we do. But this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. Because we say there ain't nothing wrong. That's why we deceive ourselves, verse 8. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Are we still okay? See, back in verse 4 says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." How you and the Lord getting along? Is your joy full? Look at me this morning. Is your joy full? You say, well, no, then that's the problem. Because if you walk in the light, Your joy will be full. We're not preaching perfection. We're preaching relationship. We're preaching fellowship. It's what the scripture says. Is that okay? Not giving you no big major thoughts. I'm just reading scripture. Huh? I have found that if only I read scripture, it's tougher than if I preach a thought. Ain't it? Think about it. So we see, we walk in the light, we're going to have conviction of sin. Can you agree to that? If we walk in light, we're going to have cleansing from sin. Can you agree to that? But can I tell you also, if we turn over to chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Can I tell you, if you walk in the light, you'll be completed too. You'll just not be convicted, and you just won't be cleansed, but you'll be completed. You'll have that joy. Do we understand this morning that the Lord is not a tyrant or not a some kind of leader that beats us or he's a holy God that lays everything out. He wants us to follow him that our joy might be full, that we walk in the light, and he provides everything else. Is that not a wonderful thing? That's all he asks. He asks you to turn from the way you're going. Turn to him. Follow him completely. I'll give you everything that's necessary. I'm going to give you eternal life. Until then, just be my witness. Just do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to give you everything, and then we'll spend eternity together. You can't get it no better. That's all he asked for. That's it. But we don't want to walk in the light. We don't want to walk in the light because we don't want convicted when we're wrong. And we don't want to have to ask for cleansing because we've deceived ourselves and think I'm okay. Did you come in this morning thinking you're okay? When I asked you a while ago, how are things with you and the Lord? How many of you said, well, I'm doing okay? Did you say that? Did you say that in your mind? Well, I'm doing okay. I'm all right. Well, let me ask you, you got anything you need to fess up? Huh? Do you? I just wonder. You know, we don't pray, but yet we have fellowship with him. Well, that don't work. When we quit reading our Bible and we say we have fellowship with him, well, that don't work. Huh? We don't worship. When's the last time that you worshiped? When was the last time you just bowed down on your face and praised and worshiped God with adoring love? That's for who he is. Do you ever worship? Do you ever get along with God? You don't have to come. We call this a worship. We've Americanized Christianity so bad that we don't even know what God is or what the word is or what worship is or anything else. The time, huh? To love with an extravagant love. That's why he compares our worship and our relationship with him to our spouse. How we're supposed to have extravagant love and take the time and to commune, to talk. Huh? Me and Cheryl, you know, we'll be married 44 years this year. Been together a long time. You know how our evenings consist? 7 o'clock, Wheel of Fortune. 8 o'clock, Perry Mason. 8:30, bedtime. For me, that's me. All right? That's me. I can't even watch a whole episode of Gunsmoke. It's too late. I get too sleepy. You know how much we talk? Well, we're guests at game on Wheel of Fortune. I think it's this. No, I think it's that. Oh, that's it. That's our conversation. We go to bed. We get up the next day, and we, wonderful. I go in. Cheryl comes in. She sits down. I go out on the porch, depending on the weather, whatever, drink a cup of coffee. Now, we're content We love one another. We adore one another. But if anybody stayed with us very long and said, y'all happy? Huh? Any of y'all like that? Any of y'all like that?
Come on now.
Yeah, we're like that. We are like it. And the older we get, can I tell you, if we're not careful, it'll be the way we are with the Lord. And people look at them, they'll question, are we happy? The Bible talks about our joy being full. Read it with me. Read it again. I read it there in verse 4. And these things write we unto you. Why? Why is John writing this?
That our joy may be
full. Why?
That our joy may be full.
And then he talks to you about fellowship. But we're not happy anymore. We come to church, we're not happy anymore. Either we're under a load or under a circumstance, or we're so far in the dark we're ashamed to come to the light. Regardless, our joy ain't full. And if my joy ain't full, it's because my fellowship ain't right. Because things ain't right with me and the Lord. Me and the Lord ain't getting along too good. That's just simple. I can't get no simpler. I can't get no plainer. Everybody understand?
Yes.
So I'm just going to quit right there. Ain't no need messing nothing up. I'm just going to quit right there. Sure, I'll go to piano. Let me ask you something. How are things with you and the Lord? How are things? Are you happy? If you ain't happy, get out of the dark. Huh? Are you listening to me? You know. How are things with you and the Lord? You ain't saved. Well, you know y'all ain't on speaking terms if you ain't saved. Huh? You need Jesus. If you ain't saved, you're going to hell. You can't be happy. Huh? And I invite you to come to Christ, but I'm preaching to the church this morning. Thank you, but Father, speak to us. Lord, you spoke to me. Lord, this may be a different presentation than I normally give, but your word is simple. You want us to be full of joy, and it's all going to be conditional on our walk in the light or not. Fellowship. Help us this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm also going to ask you to do just like what a priest. If you're in the dark, come on out of the dark. Come on, let's stand.